You know, we're doing this at the movie series, and people sometimes, they ask me, like, well, so why don't we do a series like this? Well, first of all, we believe that God's out there working in the world right now, right? He goes before us. His prevenient grace, as Wesleyan Arminians, we believe that God's grace is out there working in the world, calling people to himself. And we even believe that if there's good that you see in the world, that that's God's grace at work. That's God's prevenient grace, that grace that goes before, that he's extending to people. And so the truth is, we have to remember that truth is not written word. I mean, listen, the Bible, and Pastor Jeremy talked about it this morning, and I love what he said there. We believe that this is God's word because it's spirit inspired, right? Not only that, these are just words on a page. What we believe and what the Bible says is that the Spirit brings these words to life in us. Otherwise, this is just a book, and these are just words. But because the Spirit speaks it and brings it to life, these aren't magic potions. This is how the inspired, how God and his Holy Spirit speaks into our hearts and lives. And here's the thing. There's lots of people in the world without this book or don't pay attention to this book. So we believe in God's prevenient grace. He's out there speaking in a lot of different ways. There are good organizations that are not Christian, but I believe the prevenient grace of God is using them to bless people and change people and help people. I believe that God is out there. He's in our music lyrics. He's in books that are written. And yeah, he's even in the movies that we watch. And so here's the thing. Truth is truth. And so when you see it, even if it's in a movie like Avengers, which is by no means a spiritual experience, but when you see something in there, you can look and see that some of what they do and say in Avengers also relates to this book right here. And what I have found is that followers, is that people, when they're new to the church, if you can, you know, they don't think God, God's not a part of their life, they don't hear God, they don't listen to God, but if they come to church and they hear, they watch and see something that they know about, that they recognize from the secular world, and we illuminate and show how God's word speaks through that, then all of a sudden they make a more clear connection with God and his world. And so I've seen through the years as we've done this, I've been using video clips for probably 20 years. I used to splice together stuff from VHS tapes. Oh, it was terrible. But the last few years we've been doing this movie series, and I've seen more people get engaged in the church because they saw how God's word came to life. So I want to encourage you these next few weeks as we're in this series, for you to invite somebody to come with you, somebody that doesn't know the Lord. Tell them what we're doing. We're doing Avengers, and you can get popcorn and then pick your teeth through the rest of service and all that kind of stuff, okay? And tell them that we're finding out what God's word, how it comes to life through these movies. And so that's kind of where we are. We are doing Avengers this year. Now, Avengers, Marvel, you know, is known for comic books. I read Marvel comic books when I was a kid, and Stan Lee and all that stuff, and about all of these superheroes that are in this. They came out with the first of what were 22 superhero movies developed over three phases, right? And at the core of these movies, the thing that holds them all together is the story of the Avengers. The Avenger Initiative assembles all of Earth's greatest heroes to fight together against Earth's greatest threats. And the core of this is built around four heroes in particular. One is Tony Stark, who's Iron Man. Steve Rogers, who is Captain America, Bruce Banner, who is the Hulk, and Thor, who is Thor. And so, yeah, okay, all right, thank you. Two other characters, Black Widow and Hawkeye, kind of make up the core of the Avengers, and they come together in these four movies, which, by the way, I'm so proud of Darcy. In preparation for the sermon series, she binged three of them this week, and she's going to get the last one done. Well, we'll have to see about that. But anyway, by the time the final movie goes, if you've seen Endgame, by the time it concludes, there's many Avengers, right? Spider-Man and Black Panther and Doctor Strange and Ant-Man and Wasp, and there's the Guardians of the Galaxy and many, many more. And while these four Avenger movies are them fighting together, many of the movies in between, especially the ones that preceded the first Avengers movie, is their story. The four main characters, before they even come together, they all each had their own movies. Matter of fact, Iron Man had two. So it started off in 2008 with Iron Man 1 and The Incredible Hulk, and then Iron Man 2 in 2010, and then Thor in 2011, along with Captain America. And then they all joined forces in 2012 in the movie that we're going to talk about today, the very first Avengers movie. Now you have to understand at this point, as the movie begins, these guys have had, well, they've had their own movies. So the story was all about them individually, how they became heroes, things they had to overcome in their lives, you know, like Captain America. And, you know, he was just this scrawny little kid, and they gave him some super potion, and he became this superhero and Captain America. It's about what motivates them. It's about what matters to them, what drives them to be the characters that they are, because they all have been heroes of their own story up to this point. But now there's a threat that's, oh, it's a big one. It's probably the biggest threat. Matter of fact, it's more than one of these characters can handle themselves. Loki, who is Thor's adopted brother, meets with the leader of an alien race called the The Chitauri, right? And he makes a deal that if he can obtain the Tesseract, which is this powerful blue cube of energy, that the Chitauri will come and they will enslave Earth. And so Loki steals the Tesseract from S.H.I.E.L.D. and Nick Fury, and Nick Fury sets out to recruit Iron Man, Captain America, the Hulk, and Thor to work with Black Widow and eventually Hawkeye to join forces to defeat them. But what he doesn't take into account when he gathers these heroes together, the thing that I don't think Fury thinks about enough is that they're a pretty messed up group individually. Tony Stark is this egomaniac rich man. He calls the shots, man. Tony Stark does what Tony Stark wants to do. He is not a team player. And initially, he's even told by Nick Fury he probably doesn't qualify for the Avengers because he's such a poor team player. Dr. Banner, I mean, he gets mad. He turns into this green beast who can't control the violence within him. And he rages and he gets angry and he tears everything up. Thor is a godlike personality of mythological proportions from another world. And, you know, in the first movie, he's humble, but he has these moments when he becomes quite arrogant. And then there's Steve Rogers, Captain America. He's always throwing himself on fire. He kind of sometimes reacts before he thinks. He just wants to get out there and do, and he can be stubborn and kind of judgmental. So when these guys all come together, they're accustomed to working along, being in charge, answering to no one. And all of a sudden, they have to become a team. I want you to watch this first clip. This is when these guys really, for the first time, begin gathering together and talking about how they're gonna deal with Loki. Watch this. I've been in that board meeting. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. Instead of focusing on the enemy, they are literally picking each other apart, aren't they? You heard Dr. Banner say it. We're no team. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb waiting to go off. Paul says pretty much the same thing about you and I when we first came to Christ. We were all the hero of our own story before we came to the church and God made us a part of his team. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 28. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that were powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. Like the Avengers, we're all flawed. We all came with our own flaws, with our own failures, with our own sin. That's the way we came when he found us. Some of us were egomaniacs, like Stark. Some of us had anger issues like the Hulk. Maybe we didn't turn green and grow super big, but we got pretty violent with our actions and our words towards people. Some of us were arrogant like Thor. Some of us were kind of judgmental like Cap. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, you know Galatians 5 has the fruit of the Spirit right after this. But I love the way the Message puts this. This is us when we're following our own desires. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Wow, is that not prevalent in our culture today? We depersonalize everybody into a rival who doesn't think the way we do, who doesn't vote the way we do, who doesn't believe the way that we do. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community like Facebook. Like we really know the 2,000 friends who like us, right? Like we really keep up with those. I had my birthday the other day and I heard from people in my grade school that I haven't heard from since grade school on Facebook wishing me happy birthday. Ugly parodies of community. I could go on. Isn't that the way we were when we came to Christ? Isn't that the way that we were? No one comes to Christ apart from their own mess. I mean, we all have our own stories of how we've sinned and how we've fallen. I mean, what was your mess when you came to the King? What was your mess when you came to the church? Do you remember? Do you remember what you were before Jesus found you? Because here's the thing I find. When I remember what I was like before Jesus found me, I have to tell you, it enables me to have much more compassion. It enables me to give much more mercy and grace to other people. Because I know, I remember when I was messed up too. And I've still got my weaknesses. And so because I know I got my own weaknesses still now, I can be compassionate to you. I find the most judgmental people have forgotten what they were. And the most judgmental people have thought they've earned their way into the kingdom by coming to church enough, by giving enough in the offering, by reading the word enough. I find that those people have little compassion. If we forget that we are not perfect except through him, if we forget the mess we were in, it's far easier to not treat others with the kind of love and compassion that we need to. What was your mess? Do you remember it? And maybe this morning you're not a part of the kingdom. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you were kind of put off because everybody acted like, oh, I don't have a mess. I'm saved, sanctified, and petrified. And so I don't any longer have anything wrong with me. I am perfect. And maybe you got turned off by that and you thought, you know what, before I can go to church there, I got to be perfect too. No, you don't. You don't get your act together. I have more people tell me, when I get my act together, Pastor, I'll be at church. No. Come to church and bring your mess with you. Let God sort it out. Amen? Come on, man. Come on and bring it, because he's the one that does it. When you come to the team, you come with your mess. The disciples were a mess. Even after walking with Jesus for 3 years, still a mess. We all have our strengths and we all have our weaknesses. And if we wanted to focus on one another, we could, like the Avengers, and tear each other apart. Because here's the truth. It's so much easier to pick people apart than it is to pick people up. I got to have some louder amens than that. Amen. Somebody ought to put that on Facebook right now. I'll put it on Facebook this week. Because it is, right? It is so much easier to pick people apart than it is to pick people up. And that's what it means to be part of a team, a part of the church. Not to pick each other apart, but to pick each other up, to lift each other up. To not focus on each other's weaknesses and faults and failures like you saw them doing in the clip, but rather to encourage and inspire one another, to build each other up, to live into everything that God created us to be. Because here's the thing, folks out there, they have plenty of people picking them apart in the world. When they come in here, they don't need you to do it. When we come in here, we let God's Spirit take care of that. I let him take care of it in my life. I hope he takes care of it in your life. And rather than pick each other apart, we're here to pick each other up. That's why we have community groups. This is why we do things together. We need each other in each other's lives. We need to encourage each other and lift each other up. We need to build each other up. We need to inspire one another. We need to read the Word of God together and talk about what it means in our lives. We need to pray for one another. We need to worship together. That's why it's so hard in this culture in which we live that so many things are going on Sunday. But it's my day off for me somewhere else. But this is God's day for us to come together as the family of God and be able to grow together and learn together. Because the work of the church is to pick each other up and not pick each other apart. So let me ask you a question. What do you spend more time doing? You spend more time picking people up or do you spend more time picking people apart? Which one do you think about this week? Outside of the time that we're gathered together here today, maybe you were in a community group first hour, maybe you weren't. Apart from the time that we spend in this worshiping together today, how much time this week will you spend with a team member in this room picking them up? How much time will you spend helping somebody become more like Jesus? How much time will you spend encouraging and building somebody in this on this team, in this room? How much time will you spend picking them up? Because you see, that's our job. That's what the church is. How many times this week will you call somebody and say, hey, I just wanted to call and pray for you real quick. Can I do that? How many times will you gather with somebody? How much time will you spend this week gathering with another person around the Word of God and talking about what it means for your lives and how to live it out? How much time will you spend lifting up and inspiring someone else in this room this week? Bottom line is, let me ask you this, what kind of teammate are you? Are you the kind that picks people up? I'm not going to say you're the kind that pick people apart, because here's the reality. If you're that kind of teammate, you're no teammate at all. We need to be building each other up and picking, because you know what the Bible says? Listen to this. These are some great, Philippians 2, I apologize, I didn't get them in the Bible app. But Philippians 2 says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Of Romans chapter 12, love one another with brotherly affection. And I love this one, outdo one another in showing honor. What is wrong with us in the church? I mean, I think we ought to be given, we give away awards for everything. You know, I remember a guy had Sunday school pants like this and 5 miles down the road because he hadn't missed a Sunday. We ought to give awards for it. You ought to see, if we went around the room today and said, let's see which one of us outdid the others in showing honor. Well, I think that's a worthy, that's what we ought to be aiming for. Outdo one another in showing honor. And then Ephesians chapter 4, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We have to do that as a team, the church, the body of Christ. Not only does it honor God and represent Christ, it's the only way we're going to accomplish our mission. I love this passage of scripture. If you have it in the Bible app, you know, in the Bible app, if you take a note, it'll save it to your, it'll save it in, for the future use. If not, it'll be gone after 5 days. This one you ought to underscore. You were called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, weren't we? So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one, we have one master. We have one faith. There is one baptism, and there is one God and Father of all, the good Father that we sung about this morning, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. This should characterize the church. Everything we do should be permeated with oneness. Is that true of us? Is that true of you? That's what teams do. We pick each other up rather than pick each other apart. Now, at the end of this clip that you saw, they're attacked. The Avengers are, and Coulson is killed, and Hulk gets angry on the ship and goes crazy and nuts, and they have to basically push him out of the ship and get him gone because they're up in the air really high. And the Thor is kind of tricked by Loki to end up in this cell that was intended for Hulk, and it gets jettisoned from the ship. So now Coulson's dead. They're in different places. Nobody knows where Hulk ended up, and nobody knows where Thor is, and they're beaten down, and they're separated. Because you know why? That's what enemies do. They separate us. They divide us. They try to get us off by ourselves. Do you know why? Because the enemy would rather take you on alone, one at a time, so he can exploit you and your weakness and have a better chance to defeat you. So if he can get us singled out and apart from one another, he's got a better chance to destroy us. That's why we need each other. That's why coming together is important. Because, you know, Jesus said, what did Jesus say? He said that the gates of hell would not prevail. Remember that? You know what that's about? Some of us think that's the actual gates of hell, wherever that is. Here's what I think. You know what I think? I think what he's saying is that when we're together and we're a team, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. But the enemy picks us off and divides us. I've seen it too many times, and you have too in your life. We've experienced some of it here at Fairlawn in years past. But here's the reality. When we stick together and there is oneness that permeates us, oh, let me tell you something. That the enemy cannot prevail, but if he starts picking you off one at a time, you start missing church and you get in the habit of being gone and you don't stay connected to the body and you're not building anybody up and nobody's building you up, what ends up happening is the enemy can win. And so that's what happens, right? Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity, I did a Mr. T in my head. Pity the fool. Sorry. I have a sordid past that God's redeemed me of, but there's some things that bleed through at times. Anyway, but really, pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. We all need somebody there to pick us up because the enemy will pick us apart. The enemy will knock you down. And we need somebody around. I hate to hear people, I can do it without the church. I can go without the church. Because what you're saying is I can do it without the body. And I can do it by myself and I can do it alone. I want to tell you something this morning. I can't do it by myself. And I can't do it alone. And you say, well, Pastor, you got to be more mature. No, it's not a matter of that. What it's a matter of, the fact of the matter is that we are not made to go alone. We were made to go together. And we need each other to pick each other up when the enemy comes against us. So anyway, the team separated from one another, but then the enemy attacks New York, and they open up the portal, and the Chitauri warriors come through, and everything is just chaos. And so the Avengers go to New York. And even though Hulk is missing, Iron Man's sure that he's going to show up eventually, and nobody knows where Thor is, but they're sure he'll show up. And they realize that to win, they have to work together. They have to maximize each other's strengths and help one another if they're going to overcome their weaknesses and overcome the enemy, that together they can defeat them and win the battle. I want you to watch this clip. When we fight together, we can win. There's so many things I like about that clip. Did you notice when, my favorite scene in the whole movie is when they all are in that circle. And instead of facing in and arguing with one another, what they're doing, they're all facing outward at the enemy. They're all back to back to face the enemy. And that's the way you fight as a team. That's the way you come together, focusing on outward, you know. And then, did you notice that Iron Man deferred to the Cap, to Captain America? He said, Cap, call it. Normally, he's the one that calls all the shots, and all of a sudden, he knows that strategy, or as George Bush said, strategery, is actually one of Captain America's strength. And so he let him call the shots. See, we start leaning into other people's strengths. And what Captain America does is that he calls out and puts everybody in a position where they can win. He puts everybody, the strategy goes out there to help them. They can't all do the same thing, but they can all use their giftedness in order to make a difference. You heard what Caitlin read this morning from 1 Corinthians 12. Like we are all different parts of the body of Christ. We have different weaknesses and different strengths, but we're all important. We can't all be a foot. We can't all be a hand. We can't all be a toenail. I don't think that was in there, but we can't all be, you know, we can't all be a belly button. I mean, we've all got our strengths and we've all got our weaknesses and we've all got our place. And the way we accomplish the mission and the purpose of the world is that we work together. Because while all of us individually have weaknesses, all of us together, when we put our strengths together, we can fight the enemy, and together we can win. I'm going to highlight a couple of verses that she read. Verse 22, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Do you feel unimportant in the body of Christ? Do you feel like you got nothing to offer? Well, great. You're probably one of the most important parts of the team. That's what Paul says. You may be one of the most necessary parts. And he goes on to say something that I just understood in a new way this week. I've been preaching on this passage forever, and I kind of glossed through it, and I noticed even as Caitlin read it, I'm like her, I stumbled over some of the words there because they're kind of odd. But listen to them. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts. We're supposed to protect the fragile parts, the weakest parts. That's part of not eat them alive. Do you hear me? We're supposed to protect them. The parts that should not be seen. You know, you've visited, you've seen people that you went like, I hope nobody sees them today while they're here. Hope nobody sits next to them. They don't smell too good today. Those weak parts, we're supposed to protect them. those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to the parts with less dignity. Listen to that. And this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. So the ones that have less dignity, we sort of raise them up, right? Every person's protected. You know, so here's what he says. This is what makes for harmony in the body of Christ, right? Here's what it is. It's when the ones who have matured are giving extra honor and care to the parts that aren't as mature. That's when there's harmony in the church. That's what he says. So let's reverse that for just a minute. That what makes for disharmony in the body of Christ, it's when those who are mature require and demand more attention than those who are not as mature. Did you catch that? It's bad enough when those of us who are mature will not help those who aren't. But it's even worse when we eat up resources and time and the energy of the body on us because we demand more attention. We kept our grandbaby, our newest grandbaby, Brylin, this weekend. Can you show it? Look at that. Isn't she cute? She's a cutie. Some of you, I should have heard a lot of amens on that one. But anyway, I know some of you think your grandkids are the cutest. Anyway, she's 7 months old, man, 7 and a half. And when she's at our house, she is very demanding. She needs a lot of attention. There are bottles to make, and there's organic homemade baby food that we actually have to feed her because she doesn't hold her bottle. She doesn't hold a spoon. And so we have to do all, she's kind of lazy like that. And so I tried letting her hold her own spoon this weekend, and here's what she did. I put a little bit of it on her and said, here, hold your spoon. Quack, quack, quack. It was all over the place because that's what she does. It's terrible. She's not potty trained, which is highly annoying because that means somebody's got to change her diapers and you're always trying to smell. And I really hate this. You see people do this all the time, but, you know, we're going around like you hold them up. And, oh, my goodness. You know what I mean? And it's just terrible stuff. I don't know what the deal is. So she can't even make herself go to sleep sometimes, so we have to rock her. I mean, that's how bad she is. She's a lot of work, mostly for Luann, I'll be honest with you. But, yeah, okay. All of a sudden, she got spiritual. But anyway. Now, can you imagine what would happen if I didn't help with Brylin? If I said, you know what? I'm not helping. I got to take care of myself. If I didn't contribute to her care, or worse, can you imagine if I told Luann on Friday night, this kid is taking up a lot of your attention. I need some. I need somebody to feed. Answered that question, didn't it? Forget feeding her. I want you to hear her make my dinner. You know what? I'd like to be rocked to sleep every once in a while. Yeah, I was getting there. Change my diaper. Give me attention. Let her take care of herself for a while. She can't crawl yet, so she can roll around on the floor. Just come pay attention to me. Now, would I be a bad pawpaw? Yeah, I would. Would I be a bad husband? Would Luann divorce me probably? Yeah, you know the answer to that. You heard her. Anyway, here's the thing. It would be very immature of me, wouldn't it? But listen, this is what Paul is saying, is that those of us who are more mature sometimes demand the most attention. Those of us who are more mature demand that we be cared for. I mean, I had somebody say to me once, Pastor, why do you spend so much time with those new people? Because they're the babies. That's why. And as far as I know, you can feed yourself, you can change your own diaper. Spiritually, you should be mature enough after 30, 40 years of following Jesus, right? And yet, what do we do sometimes as followers of Jesus? We who are more mature, which I need to ask you the question, because this is an important question. Are we ready to have a bunch of baby Christians in the nursery because we who are more mature are ready to take care of them? Or are we who are more mature demanding our own attention? Do what I want. Sing what I want. Let's have the programs that I want. See, I'm just like, I was looking at that this week and I thought, you know what? Our job, listen, it's our job not only to like not demand the most attention, but it's our job as mature Christians to help build the others up. So my question to you is, who are you building up? Are you demanding attention? Are you giving attention to those who are not as mature as you are? What strength of yours is being deployed against the enemy? What are you doing to build others up, to work with others so they can win the battle and you can win the battle and we as a team can win the battle? Got to be careful that we're focused on the team and those lesser parts. I got to finish. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 12 to say this: if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you has a part of it. I played football for a lot of years, and here's what I love about football, is that at the snap of the ball on offense, I played offense and defense, but at the snap of the ball on offense, all 11 men have a job to do. And if one lineman misses his block, it could blow the play up. And if one back misses his step or the handoff gets messed up, if the quarterback overthrows the pass, if a wide receiver runs a different route, disaster happens. We've got to be able to perform together and be able to do and accomplish to score. And here's the thing, as a church, we've all got to do it together. We, not just one of us. One of us could do their job and do everything right, but it takes all of us together. Leaning into what God calls us to be. And the greatest thing is man, it was awesome when a play would come together and we'd score a long touchdown because everybody did their job, the play worked. It's even more incredible in the church. When somebody gives their heart and life to Christ, when somebody grows and matures in Christ, when somebody becomes more like Jesus because we're all doing our part to support the team. So here's what I want to ask you in conclusion this morning. Are we winning? Are we winning? Are you doing your part on the team? Are you doing your part for the person down the aisle from you in your community group? Are you a good teammate? Who are you discipling? And who's discipling you? Some of us aren't in a community group. We need to find a group of believers around here to huddle together with on the team. How are you helping the others in the body of Christ to defeat the enemy? Who's standing at your back ready to take on the enemy with you? Who are you standing beside to take the enemy when he comes to take us all down? Are you focused on him? Are you picking people apart? Are you picking people up? Building people up. Giving attention to those who need it the most. Following Jesus is a team sport. We go together. We travel together. We win together. If we get to heaven and one of us is missing, that's not what it's meant to be. I don't go alone. You don't go alone. We go together because we are a part of the team of Jesus Christ. You bow your heads with me and pray. Father, right now I just pray that your Holy Spirit would look down in each of our hearts this morning. And we ask you the question, what kind of a teammate am I? God, you're the one who builds the team. You're the one who called me to this team. You gave me these people that the scripture said I am traveling with alongside. God, what's my part? Some of us feel very unimportant this morning. God, will you remind us that you called us here for a reason? God, will you get our eyes off ourselves? Who is it that you want me to reach? What teammate around me do you want me to uphold? What teammate around me do you want to build up this week? Who do you want me to call on the phone this week and say, hey, I just want to pray with you? Who do you want me to gather with this week and talk about your scripture and what you're saying to us and how we ought to and how we can live that scripture out in the world? God, who do in this room will you send my way to help me too? God, we're a team. Will you help us be a team this week in our community? That rather than forgive us when we've picked each other apart. God, forgive us. Maybe we've done that in the past. It's part of our sinful, fallen condition. But God, will you help me this week? Will you use me to pick somebody up? God, will you use me to protect somebody this week? Who around here is less mature than me that I can protect this week as they're trying to grow to be what you want them to be? And God, most of all, will you show me how we can work with one another? You called me here for a reason. I don't know if I'm a foot or a hand or an eyeball or an ear or whatever I am, God. Will you help me to utilize my gifts and abilities that you've given me, that I would live into the reason that you called me here and share my gifts, share my life with other people so that our team, Farallon Nazarene Church, can be the strong team that you have called us to be, that you have thought of us to be, that you have built us to be. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Now, the praise team's going to come back, and we're going to sing one more song to be to close our service this morning. Listen, if you're somebody who's like, well, Pastor, I've been to church. I'm not a Christian or anything else, and I've struggled with this, that, or the other. Listen, I'd love to have a conversation with you to talk about what it's really about and to tell you how this church, this is what we're becoming. We're becoming a church that's a team, and we'd love to have you come along with us and join us, and we'd love to answer any of those questions that you have, because I believe this, you're here for a reason today. God's got you here for a reason this morning, and God wants to use you and move through you, and so we'd love to answer that question for you as well. This week, when you're out there, will you just be cognizant this week? Find one person, ask God to give you one person that you can encourage and build up this week, and then go do it and see what God does through you. We'll gather back here next week for the second sermon in our series. I hope you have an awesome week. Let's stand together today, and we're going to sing this song as our benediction this morning, and then be dismissed. Have a great week.